whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Talk about your Giants on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
Okay. Right back at it on The Fan inside the 1 a.m. hour. Hopefully you're staying warm. Hopefully you're not listening to this out in the cold. Maybe you got to work in the cold, though. Champ it out. One more hour to go. Really not even like 50 minutes to go. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Talking about Aaron Glenn. We'll get back to that, but I don't want to keep people waiting. I said we'd go to Steven in Stamford, Connecticut, and that's what I'm about to do. What's up, Steven? You're on The Fan.
Hey, thank you very much. First time calling your show up. By the way, you're doing a great job. I think it won't be long before you take the reins from Steve Summers, the all-time great overnight.
It never will happen, but thank you.
Yeah, but, you know, one day it'll happen. You have it. You're natural.
He's the best. Icon. I don't even think about that ever being a possibility, but thank you.
Right. So it's just take the compliment that's being mentioned in the same sentence,
yes.
And because that's what it's meant.
Appreciate it.
That's the way it's meant. You're very welcome. By the way, I think there's a common theme here between Pete Alonso, the Giants, and the Jets. You know, I think one of the things that happens is that Steve Cohen, when he took over, tried to turn the Mets, which was a disaster organization, under the Wilpons, for a long time. They got lucky a couple of times. They caught lightning in a bottle. But essentially, every time Jess in particular got involved, things fell apart. Now, you got to, in this dynamic between Pete and the Mets, you know, Pete has to take some responsibility. If you send out the bat signal that you're going to sign, you're going to saddle up to Boras, then guess what? You know, you're sending the signal, it's all about the money.
Mm-hmm.
He bet on himself, and he did okay, but he did not blow the barn doors off. So, you know, he can't be surprised when all of a sudden the Mets are like, well, we're not going to just write you a blank check. We got to have some fiscal responsibility. I mean, he's just not Juan Soto. He's not as young. He wasn't as productive. I mean, there's some reality here, and if he wants to sign with the Mets, then he's got to call off his dogs and say, you know what, maybe this, you know, like option to leave every year or every at-bat, you know, it's just not going to work. So do something that, you know, if I hit over 300, if I hit over 275, I get this. If I hit more than 40 home runs, I get extra $10 million. If I get over 50, I get $30 million. You know, like if you
incentives, better, escalators, something
incentive,
that
escalator, yeah, production based, so that the Mets are paying for something that they want. And I think that this turnaround, you know, when you think about it, before, you know, Boras has a relationship with the Mets, and it's not good. So the tail has wagged the dog for long enough, and the Mets are not in a position, don't have to be in a position where they have to be held hostage, it's a loaded term these days, by, you know, Boras for, you know, being up to his old trick.
He's got Juan Soto. The relationship is great, at least on his end. He got $805 million for Juan Soto over 15 years. I'm sure Scott thinks the relationship's fantastic.
Right. But the idea is that, you know what, if you produce like Juan Soto, you get Juan Soto money.
Right. He also represents Pete Alonso, and now Pete Alonso is kind of left in the cold.
Well, you know, unfortunately, that happens when, you know, you have to realize that.
More than not with his clients. More than not with his clients.
Yeah. He's got to, you know, Pete's has to take some responsibility. Now, look, $70 million is a heck of a lot of money. you and I would have to win Powerball to get that kind of money.
Yeah,
that's a one in a billion, chances.
But he's earned that money, and
he's entitled to it.
It was $90 million we had heard. It was $158 million. What at the end of the day, what sucks about the whole situation with Pete is that he did have $158 million on the table from the last GM, but he wanted to go and get Scott Boras, like you said, and that signaled to the Mets, it signaled to the world, like you said, it was all about the money. And when you do that and you don't have an Aaron Judge-like prove-it year, you bet on yourself and fail. You crap
and
out.
You lose.
You roll the dice and you lose. Yes.
So that's on him. And you know what? If he was smart, he would say, maybe I'll take a two-year $50 million and show that he can produce. So I don't know how he wants to handle it.
I think he's going to do that, just not do it with the Mets because pride and ego is going to come in the way. And any of these baseball teams can do 2 years, $50 million.
There's no better way to pump up your numbers than to bat after Juan Soto. And, especially
I thought about it like this with Pete. You spent all of these years without Juan Soto, without all the hype, without all the expectations.
Yeah.
Like, don't you want to be on this Mets team that's expected to win? Don't you want to be in this lineup with Juan Soto and all the attention he's going to bring? Like, all the added media, all the added advertisers, all the added celebrities, and like, this is going to be a huge year for baseball in New York. You don't want to be in New York?
You don't want to be on the Mets. Why wouldn't you want to be on the Mets when this is a team that could compete? I mean, he's not going to the Dodgers, as you mentioned. So there's basically no other team that's going to compete with the Mets or the Dodgers. If you want to win, if you want to be like, it ties into the Hall of Fame stuff, if you want to be like the Billy Wagner kind of person who's cries when he finally gets into the Hall of Fame because you love the game that much. You want to win. If he wins, they'll never take that away from him. He will go on to be, he will make more money.
Yep.
Being
with
in
the New York legacy and the bigger fan base and the number one media market. And if you do actually win a World Series here, we know how it goes.
Yeah. You're right. The money he makes now is laughable. It's chump change compared to what he would get on all of his marketing deals, whatever he wants to do in the future. The point is that he has an opportunity now to do the right thing, and it's not just up to Steve Cohen. And I think that Steve Cohen is sending a signal to Boras, you're not beat me down here. This is not how it works anymore. And it's a kind of a organizational shift. I mean, think of, Tiki Barber, who you mentioned with CC Sabathia. He left in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
He went out. He was doing great. And he just said, no, I'm out.
Should have gave it one more year. But
yeah.
Butterfly effect, who knows? It's an alternate universe. Yeah. Maybe things don't work out that way.
Right. So, you know what? Pete wants to stick it out. To be honest with you, people who play the game always want to win it, and they want to be as close as possible to winning the trophy. And that right now is with the Mets or the Dodgers. And if you're not with the Mets or the Dodgers, you're going to be on the outside looking in. And I think that ties into the Jets a little bit, because right now that is dysfunction junction. And, maybe a rookie head coach is not what you want to take over now. And even, it doesn't matter if he's defensive or offense. Remember, the best coach that I've ever seen in my lifetime since Don Shula was a defensive coordinator. Bill Belichick went to Cleveland before he had success in New England. You learn something on your first job. No matter what you do. And I'll tell you, that being the Jet, taking that over on their first job, first head HC, that's not an enviable position to be in. It's a lot of heat, he can't do it all. He can't, he can't manage all the stuff. Bill Belichick could. And I think Aaron Glenn, like you said, he's going to be a great coach. But probably the second job he gets, not the first. That's just the way it usually works.
Thanks for the call, Steven. Appreciate the compliments as well and the back and forth. You know, on Pete, I've come around to the thought that the door is still open because no other doors are open. I've also come around on the thought after this weekend, like I said, with Roky Sasaki, Tanner Scott, and Kirby Yates being signed, three arms to really bolster and shore up the Dodgers' rotation and bullpen. If I'm the Mets, I'm like I can't have that lineup without Pete in it. If I am the Mets, I am not so wild about Mark Vientos moving to first base and Brett Beatty playing third base when I've seen both of them put together a blooper reel of errors and mistakes and not being able to just catch the damn ball. I can't do it. If I'm thinking that I want to go back to the NLCS, World Series, and the Dodgers exist, I can't move forward with that infield. I can't move forward with that lineup. And I might go back to give a little bit more, whether it's an incentive-based contract with escalators and things that, hey, if you hit 45, 50 home runs, if you're an MVP, if you're an all-star, if you have this many RBI, whatever, maybe. And then on the Aaron Glenn front, I don't know. I have faith in Aaron Glenn. Rumors are Aaron Glenn would be bringing in Clint Kubiak as his offensive coordinator and Steve Wilkes as his defensive coordinator. And I think those are two guys. Steve Wilkes has head coach experience. Not a lot, but he does have head coach experience. I think that would help. And Clint Kubiak, I mean, his dad has had coaching experience. I think those would be two good guys to bring in. Let's go to Tim in Westchester County. Tim, you're on the Fan.
Keith, what's going on, bud?
You know, talking through the talk, thinking about things.
I hear you. Real quick, the definition of insanity.
It's doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
Okay. And that is the New York Jets. That is defensive mind.
First time head coach.
Exactly. Why can't they explore the different option and going offensive minded, where this team right now is set with stronger offensive players? And we all know, look at the teams now. They're all offensive-minded. And these are the teams moving on to win Super Bowl.
Sean McDermott is a defensive-minded head coach. But they have Joe Brady over there.
Right. The Rams' exception.
I mean, the Rams are out. But, like, you know, I'm thinking of the teams that have made it to the Final Four. Dan Quinn is a defensive-minded head coach. But he's got Cliff Kingsbury.
And that's where my second point was going to go was Cliff Kingsbury said, you know, he's not going to see any, you know, talk to anybody until their run's over. But how come the Jets haven't talked to your guy, McCarthy?
That's not my guy.
That's not your guy.
I mean, the Bears flew him out and they hired Ben Johnson quick, fast, in a hurry. I think he's going to talk to New Orleans. Aaron Glenn is also going to talk to New Orleans. I don't know. As far as
is Aaron Glenn going to talk to New Orleans with the whole postponement of the weather?
Maybe not. We could wake up in a few hours to Aaron Glenn as the new head coach of the New York Jets.
Right.
As far as
why not talk to McCarthy?
From what I've heard, and they've said this on the Fan, and I read something about this. They checked on McCarthy, which is stupid if this is the actual reason. Around the last turn, when they hired Rob Saleh, they checked in on Mike McCarthy and they didn't like what they heard. They didn't think he'd be the right fit for New York, for the Jets, or whatever. And then he ended up having a sleepover with Jerry Jones, and Jerry Jones loved him. He's like, oh, this guy wants to paint nails and eat popcorn and watch scary movies with me. He'll do whatever I say. That didn't work out. When you look at
who he could also reunite with Rodgers. Rodgers there another year.
I think interviewing him is a no-brainer when you've already interviewed 15 different head coaches. You've interviewed Mike Locksley from Maryland. You've interviewed Darren Rizzi. You interviewed Jeff Ulbrich, and like 2 days later, Jeff Ulbrich took the job as the Falcons' defensive coordinator.
The only people they haven't interviewed was McCarthy, you, and I. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, they might interview Pete Alonso if Pete Alonso wants to stay in New York that bad. I would talk to him because, like you said, why not talk to him about working again with Aaron Rodgers for a year? And he's a proven program builder, winner, Super Bowl winning head coach. I don't know, man. I think it's Woody.
Go with the offensive mind.
The only offensive stronger players. The only offensive coaches that they even checked with, Matt Nagy, Arthur Smith, Bobby Slowick, Josh McCown. And I don't think any of those guys are getting a job.
Right. And they're saying Josh McCown, he's friends with Woody, and he's respectable and stuff like that. But, again, first-time head coach. Like, but go with the offensive mind. I think it's just switch it up. You know, try something a little different.
The thing, too, about the offensive-minded head coach, like we just saw Ben Johnson go to Chicago, because he's got Caleb Williams in year two. The offensive-minded head coach is going to want the quarterback, the sure thing at quarterback.
Which I agree with.
The Jets don't have.
Look what Rodgers was doing the last four games of the season, last five games.
He may retire.
He got healthy. I don't think so.
He could. I don't think he wants to go out like that. But
he could. Do you think Rodgers is going to go out like that?
Actually, when I actually watched the game, I'm like, this is actually an okay way to go out. I know it doesn't mean anything. It's regular season. But what do you have, four touchdowns? He got the record.
He got it. But do you think he wants to go out?
No, I think he wants to go out.
Season?
I think he wants to go out in the playoffs.
At least making the playoffs. Exactly. So now, maybe you call in Mike McCarthy. Hey, listen, you got your guy here. You know, you can coach him. There's been success here between you and him.
I don't think they will. I think now it is.
Why not, though? Like, that's the stuff that's driving me crazy.
Because it's been over a week now since Jerry Jones held up Mike McCarthy, and we've heard nothing about them interviewing him or reaching out to him.
But insider, like, any reason why?
And the only reason why is that they've been there, they checked on that 4 years ago, and they didn't like what they thought or saw or whatever, and they're not interested in talking to him again.
Nah. All right. I think they need to go the offensive way.
It's Woody Johnson's decision at the end of the day. And Woody Johnson might not like him because he's fat.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
They let Rex interview, right?
he slimmed down from his coaching days.
Because he's on TV every day.
It's just about, you know, a lot of times, and I've heard this so many times, these owners, they want guys to represent their team, and image is a lot of it. Like, the way you look and appear is a lot of it. Doesn't always make sense, but it is a lot of it. If Woody doesn't like his appearance and doesn't want to see him in Jets merch and Jets hats and shirts, he's not talking to him.
But image is the first picture of character, right? Like,
yeah,
image is huge,
especially in the interview process. Right,
listen, I appreciate your time. I think the Jets should go.
You're not wrong.
A little bit different. change up the insanity way. And let's go a little bit offensive.
And they might. Thanks for the call, Tim. They haven't made a decision yet. 888-808-1019. They have not hired anyone yet. I am on board for Aaron Glenn. I think you're hiring a leader of men. I think you're hiring a guy that has done everything in the NFL. I think you're hiring a guy that wants to be a Jet. I think you're hiring a guy that just came from a place where they were as bad as the Jets. And now they've been pretty consistent as far as being contenders. I think you'll be able to handle the market here, but I understand the trepidation behind first-time head coach, defensive-minded. Fool me, can't fool me again and again and again and again. 888-808-1019, but I just don't think that like Mike McCarthy is an option. And then I'm like, what other options are out there? I got to go look at it. Like, who else is interviewing? And you can't even do that. Like, Rob Saleh is getting legitimate interviews, which as much as we trash Rob Saleh, teams like the Jaguars and even the Dallas Cowboys are saying, hey, what did we think of him when he came out of San Francisco? His failure in New York, is that more on Woody Johnson than the Jets or on him? Would he fail with us, with our team, with our talent? I don't know. But it gives you something to think about as far as the NFL. One man's trash is another man's potential head coach. Chris is in Yonkers on the Fan. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Keith. How you doing? Great show.
Thanks for calling. I'm good. What you got?
I want to know why the Jets haven't even considered. This guy's been an NFL head coach. Why are they not interviewing Cliff Kingsbury? Guy does wonders with offenses and quarterbacks.
So, and Tim and I were just talking about it. And it's funny because now a lot of people are leaning into this with Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn getting bounced in the first round. Well, first round for them, right. Second round. That, like, there should be a rule against interviewing these coordinators because it's a distraction. Cliff Kingsbury isn't taking interviews. He's so locked in on Jaden Daniels, his rookie quarterback, this team. He's not doing interviews from what I understand.
I understand, but, you know, if they get bounced this weekend, I would talk to him. And then I think if I'm the Jets, you know, maybe the fourth, fifth round, take a flyer on Kyle McCord out of Syracuse. This guy could be the next Brock Purdy.
I like Kyle McCord a lot. I don't know what round he's going to be taken in. We'll see how he runs and how he tests, but I don't care how he runs and tests. I watched him play at Syracuse because there's this kid, was it Tabor Pena? Trabor Pena, from my town. And when I heard people talking about him, like, oh, this kid from Ocean is playing at Syracuse. I watched a couple games. I'm like, yo, where's this quarterback? I'm like, that's the kid from Ohio State. He's got some moxie to him. He's got some compete to him. He's got the aura to him.
After the top two quarterbacks, I would take him before Quinn Ewers, before Jackson Dart, and before Jalen Milroe.
Yeah, definitely.
I would go with Kyle McCord. He could be the next Brock Purdy. Take a fourth, fifth, sixth round. Anyway, thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call, Chris. Kyle McCord, Brock Purdy. Kyle McCord isn't Brock Purdy size. And I always think about Brock Purdy like he's small. Kyle McCord is 6'3", 220. But maybe if you're saying like Mr. Irrelevant, if you're saying like, you know, a guy that was drafted to the last pick of the draft, like Kyle McCord is 6'3", 220. They list Brock Purdy at 6'1", 220, and that's cap. Brock Purdy might be 6 foot. Maybe, you know, after bulk day and, you know, some whey protein, he's 215. I wouldn't even give him that. He's so small looking. Kyle McCord, though. Yeah, he might be a guy that you take a flyer on. Fourth round? I don't know. It's a quarterback-driven league. These guys don't fall to the fourth round. Like Spencer Rattler, not only did he fall, Spencer Rattler was he was in QB1. Like Spencer Rattler was starting at Oklahoma over Caleb Williams, who went number one in the draft. Spencer Rattler started games. He was a fifth-round pick this year by the Saints, and he started games for them this year. But I think a lot of people didn't. The QB1 stuff didn't look good for Spencer Rattler. Like, I do remember seeing some draft stuff about, like, people didn't like his attitude and how cocky he was, how he came off in QB1. Like, he just seemed, like, full of himself, arrogant. But, I mean, he got his ass humbled. He got humbled at Oklahoma. I remember him crying when they were... I think they were chanting, "We want Caleb." Boy was crying on the sidelines. That's tough. I felt for him. I don't know if that would make me cry. I probably would have been pissed. I don't know if I'm going to be tearing up because they want the backup to play. 888-808-1019. It's a quarterback-driven league. Got to take a quarterback. And it's also a league where experience plays. And I understand the risk. I understand the fear of the Jet fan saying, here we go again. We are going to put a head coach in this position that's never done it before with a GM that's never done it before. It's a recipe for disaster. Haven't we learned from our past mistakes? But I do feel like Aaron Glenn could be different, and I do feel like his tie to Lance Newmark could be enough. A guy that literally just saw how the Commanders did it and saw how the Lions did it. Come on, we're like the Lions and Commanders, like we're like the fact that they were even playing each other. Like the Lions and Commanders growing up, we seen them be trash. We seen them have horrible seasons. Stay down till you come up. It can come around for the Jets. It can come around for the Giants. You just got to hire the right guys. You got to make the right moves. And I know it's a lot easier said than done. 888-808-1019. We're going to break it down. But if you want to weigh in on Aaron Glenn, if you want to weigh in on who else the Jets should target, I mean, rumor was out there that if Aaron Glenn is hired, he's going to want to bring Aaron Rodgers back. A guy that played 14 years in the NFL, a guy that understands what it's like to get older in the league. They're saying he'd be more inclined to bring Aaron Rodgers back and want to so they could get off to a good start. But I do understand the whole offensive-minded thing. Well, bring in Clint Kubiak. And I, when we come back, what we'll do is play the audio from Aaron Glenn talking about, I'm a defensive coach. Yeah, I'm a defensive coordinator, but I'm a coach. I understand the offense well, too, and I love that. I love that, too, because there's too many people that think because someone is a – what does a defensive coordinator spend all day doing? Figuring out how to stop the offense. Like, you think these defensive coordinators don't know offensive schemes and formations and personnel? They have to. 888-808-1019. When we come back, we'll play the clip from Aaron Glenn talking about himself as a coach, checking in with the offense, the defense, the special teams. I'll look through my notes for whatever I missed and what I haven't brought to air yet. We'll take the rest of the calls, and I'll get out of the way so C-Mac can come in and do his thing. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. Right back after this.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Hey, hey, hey. Remember when this song was like really popular one summer? What year was that? I mean, they played this song a lot. I think I was DJing that year. People were requested. I'm like, here we go again. Cause you're a good girl. Hey, hey, hey. I think it was T.I., Pharrell, Robin Thicke on that track. It's not in my playlist. It's in the WFAN playlist, though. You listen to WFAN, it's going to play as a rejoin somebody's show. Just dropped on my show. Keith McPherson on The Fan. This is the last little bit I got, man. I was just, you know, looking through my notes. And what I love about, you know, when the Hall of Fame comes, they take you down memory lane. And, like, you know, having Ichiro and having CeCe and having even, you know, Billy Wagner, there's pieces of, you know, our fandom, our lives, our time watching these guys that kind of pop back up. Man, Ichiro was the man. You kind of forget, like, Ichiro having English as a second language. They just played it. Barstool had a clip where he's with Brian Gumble, and he talks about how hot it is. Not Brian Gumble. Rest in peace to Brian Gumble. Not Brian Gumble. Greg Gumble. Wow. It's getting late. It's almost 2 a.m. They had Bob Costas with Ichiro, and they asked him, like, what his favorite American saying was. And he talked about a teammate that taught him something about how, like, how hot it is in Kansas City. Barstool posted that. Then I just came across another clip of Ichiro meeting Pedro Martinez for the first time and greeting him like hola, ¿cómo estás? And, you know, like, as a kid, I remember seeing that. And it's just so cool when you see these players that are good players come together and then how they admire each other. And we used to get to see those things on ESPN, like all-star games. And you just kind of forget about it. Ichiro's the man. I hate that, you know, one jackass had to be the guy to be like, nope, I'm going to withhold my vote so there can never be another unanimous. I feel like Ichiro deserves to be unanimous. But whatever. Also, I didn't want to leave out the two guys from the Errors Committee, Dick Allen and Dave Parker, will obviously join CeCe Sabathia, Ichiro Suzuki, and Billy Wagner. This is a great class. I might try and figure out how to get up there. Yo, Players Alliance, if anybody's listening from the Players Alliance, holler at your boy. I should just holler at CeCe. Like, yo, I'll go up there and host. I'll do some content. I'll do some different things. I'm like, I've never been to Cooperstown because it's always been so far. I never had any money to go or anybody to go with. Now would be the time. 888-808-1019. Now would be the time to call if you want to get in on these last 15 minutes before they me. My boy JC, who is a New York City police officer, his dad as well, grew up in the Bronx. Shout out to JC. I'll see you when we get back to the stadium. He's got a good eye, man. So as I'm talking about them putting out all this stuff, right, they put out, you know, the Four Train Savages. Shout out to their podcast, too. Did their podcast years ago when those guys were coming up. They're still going. They said CeCe Sabathia literally left it all out on the field. So it was game four at the stadium of the ALCS. I was at this game. I know a lot of you might have been at this game where CeCe literally threw his arm out on the mound. I remember just being like, damn. I literally, like, talk about leave it all on the field. Like, literally left it all out on the field. Couldn't go anymore. And we were losing 7-3. But there's a clip, I just retweeted it on my Twitter, at Keith_McPherson, where they cut to right field. And there's some fans banging on the padding, as we do in Yankee Stadium. And it's the same guy that grabbed Mookie Betts' glove in the World Series, banging on that same wall. So he was not lying when he said, we got season tickets. We sit here every year. We patrol this wall. Tough way to lose your season tickets. Tough way to get banned from all the stadiums. Can't do that. Can't grab a player. You know, hitting the wall is one thing. Yelling is another thing. Can't grab a guy's arm and glove. But I thought that was hilarious. JC was like, ain't these the dudes that grab Mookie's glove? Like, yup, retweet. Good eye. 888-808-1019. The Yankees coaching staff, nobody cares about, but that's in my notes. That's out there if anyone wants to go. Not that many changes, but that's, you know, out there. With the Rangers, we didn't really talk about the Rangers, but Igor fighting Brady Tkachuk, if you saw that, Matt Rempe scoring a goal as well. Matt Rempe commented on it. He said, I was a little nervous because I don't want anything to happen to him, but I love just because he's a competitor. He just wants to make sure I get in there and nothing happens, but it was awesome. Igor is the man. So I like getting Igor back is obviously a huge bump for the Rangers, but them kind of being pissed off and fighting for their season and fighting for these games, like that's what you need. They weren't fighting at all in the beginning. They were getting ran over and it seemed like they were woe is me. It seems like they were looking for, you know, pity or help and kind of licking their wounds because, you know, guys got traded and they didn't get off to a hot start. But, hey, maybe this is what they need. I think they had 9 points in their last five games or something like that. Like, they got off the ground. They're still going. And last thing before we play Aaron Glenn, and I probably end talking about him, I saw an article today about the money that is made let me rephrase this, and I got this cold and it's getting late and I'm like stumbling over my words. The money made from the national championship for the advertisers versus the money that the teams get. So I think it was Front Office Sports that put this out that the teams in the Big Ten all got $1.1 million. Ohio State had a $20 million NIL bill, which I think is the largest in the country. Oh, that's how you won. But then ESPN, I got to get the exact numbers. ESPN was charging advertisers so much more than what the conference was getting to be featured just for a commercial. Okay, so here it is. $2.6 million was the amount paid to each of the Big Ten 17 members for Ohio State winning the national title. Rutgers is in that. But for just a 30-second ad on ESPN during the national championship, it cost $1 million to $1.1 million for advertisers for 30 seconds to be seen. There's so much money in college football now. It's the pros. It's the minor leagues. It's over. I don't want to hear about no room and board. I don't want to hear about tuition. I don't want to hear about a meal plan, Pell Grant, FAFSA. That's the type of stuff I had to deal with. I remember telling the story, like, when I went to JMU, we had a punch system. It was the dumbest thing ever. Luckily, I was cool with enough people. I used to just sneak in the dining hall and I should just do whatever. We had a punch system where you could only use punches. You could get 2 punches a day. And then it was like a certain amount of times you go to the actual dining hall. And you don't always want to go to the dining hall. And you could use your punches at like Sbarro or Chick-fil-A on campus. I don't miss those days at all. I remember when I did decide to quit, like just drop out of school, it was because we had this thing called Hell Day. And man, shout out to those kids. Wow. Universe never unconnects. Those kids at JMU are going back right now because Martin Luther King Day just ended. Second semester's about to start. And they're about to have Hell Day this week at James Madison University. If they still do it, hopefully they outlawed it now. These kids are soft now. They probably don't have to go through it. But Hell Day, everybody wakes up at like 4:30 in the morning. You got to get to the facility at 5, and they just kick your ass for 90 minutes. And I had never puked from working out. I ran track in high school. I was always pretty conditioned, could run. But what they had us doing between like up downs, burpees, duck walks, flipping tires, going in at like squatting, lifting, like I was puking during that workout. Probably had a little bit of alk in my system. But after that, I was like, I did one Hell Day. And I'm like, wait, we all got to do it. It was like an initiation. And they had buckets like in the weight room and stuff because they knew people would puke. Like, I think it was like all workouts that were supposed to make you puke. But I know my second year, I was third string. I knew I wasn't going to beat out Drew Dudzik or Rodney Lander. Shout out to the bros. Shout out to the QB room. And I just was like, I don't know. I was kicking it with this girl, Cat, all the time. I did not care. I skipped Hell Day, and I'll never forget all the texts. Oh, you skipped Hell Day. You're done. Oh, you're in trouble. Wait till you hear get your punishment. And we used to, our punishment, if anybody's ever been to James Madison University, there's just like, there's the tracks, the train tracks, but there's these like big ass steps. And they're so steep. And any punishment for missing lifting or class or being late, you had to run stairs. And stairs, you got to run stairs at 4 in the morning. And it could be freezing cold like it is now. I remember I had to do that a couple of times. I was like, I'm just out. So I remember talking to my coach, Coach Durden, who recruited me, our offensive coordinator, quarterback coach. He's just like, "What's up with you, man? What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm out. If you couldn't tell, I don't want to be here anymore. This sucks. I'm out of here. I'm about to go home for real. I'm actually about to kick it at Cat's crib after this. Can I go?" I remember pulling up to his office with a bag of Chick-fil-A. Big lemonade, and was like, "Coach, I'm out. This sucks. I can't handle doing Hell Day, lifting, going to class, going to study hall, trying to go to the party at the swim team house. It was a lot. It was a fish out of water, small fish in a big pond, Jersey kid in Virginia. I'm glad I went down there and experienced that, but something was calling me to come back home and actually, like, I don't know, go to class, get a degree, like." I went down there undeclared. All right, let's play the Aaron Glenn audio talking about being a coach and not just being a defensive coordinator, talking about being a coach. And I felt like this was wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I hear about Rob Saleh and how he was just a defensive-minded guy. Guy didn't know how to call timeouts, didn't know how to affect the offense. Well, I don't think you'll have that problem with Aaron Glenn. Let's hear it.
As far as, you know, typically, I mean, Bill Belichick is a shining example of a defensive coach who won Super Bowls, but typically it's offensive coordinators. They come from the onset of offense who become Super Bowl head winning coaches.
Yeah.
Why do you think that might be? Is there...
Well, I don't know if that's truly accurate. I can just go off the top of my head with Bill Carr, Mike Tomlin, Bill Belichick, that's won a ton of Super Bowls. As a defensive coach. And here's the one thing that I would say about myself. I'm a coach. I just happen to be on defense. I understand the offense just as well as a number of people. So if you want to hire me, you're going to hire a coach. You're not going to hire a defensive coach. I'm going to talk to the offense just as much as I'm going to talk to the defense.
As far as, you know,
I'm going to talk to the offense just as much as the defense. I understand the offense just as well as anybody else. And then he gave you the list of guys that have won that are defensive minded. Defense wins championships. You know what else I liked from watching the pivot? Just search the Pivot Podcast, Aaron Glenn, and fast forward 20 minutes to skip their advertising and just get to him talking. Man, he talked about Bill Parcells. He talked about being a Jet. One of the first things they asked him, I guess there's a legendary story about him trying to challenge Bill Parcells and him going into Bill Parcells' office thinking he had the upper hand, saying, hey, there's rumors that you're trading me. If you're trading me, just go ahead and trade me. And Bill Parcells told him, come in. Shut the door behind you. Listen, young man, there's a price on everybody's head. There's also a price on my phone I just dropped. There's a price on everybody's head. He said, my wife has a price on her head. If somebody walked in here and gave me a good offer for her, she'd be gone. So the same thing goes for you. If a team calls and they offer a good package for you, you're out of here. Not trying to trade you, but we're taking calls on you. And Aaron Glenn learned from that. He said that was the stupidest thing. He felt stupid going in there thinking that he had the upper hand. He said, right then and there, I learned this is a business. They're going to do what's best for business. It's not about you personally. You're a young guy, this and whatever. I'm like, that's great. He talked about Bill Belichick in that podcast. He said that Bill Belichick used to put a little dollhouse in his locker during game week with, like, I guess little figures in it and say, this is this guy this week, whoever the receiver might be. You're going to let this guy come into your house? You're going to let this guy eat and establish himself, put his feet on your couch, kick up in your house? And Aaron Glenn said what that would do psychologically for him. We just saw that with Darius Slay. Darius Slay's coach put a gas tank, an empty like plastic, one of those red gas tanks. Like when you run out of gas, you got to go. They put that in his locker, and they, with a post-it note on it, said, hey, how much you got left in the tank, Slay? Darius Slayton should have had a pick. He had a good game. Bill Belichick used little props like that to motivate Aaron Glenn. He's like, he said, you know, one day I hope that I could be like that as a head coach, do little things like that. I'm like, man, imagine doing something like that to Sauce Gardner. Sauce Gardner, yo, like, he needs motivation. These guys need extra things like that. And what Aaron Glenn said is, like, those little things are what turn a good player into a great player into a Hall of Famer. Not just watching film, not just the X's and O's, but little things like that. I'm going to put this little house in your locker, metaphorically, so you to think about this guy coming into our stadium. You're going to let this guy eat in here? He said, no, I'm not going to let him get a thing. I love that. He talked about Todd Bowles. He talked about how Todd Bowles coaching under Bill Belichick, that was the first coach that he let be the DB's coach, and how meticulous Bill Belichick was about being the DB's coach under the defense. He mentioned Mike Tannenbaum. And this was 2 years ago. So he already had a relationship with Mike Tannenbaum, and now who is doing the interviews with the 33rd team in the Jets? You guys should check that out. But not tonight. Stay tuned for C-Mac Show. Keep it locked right here on The Fan in New York. 101.9 FM, streaming on the free Odyssey app. My name's Keith McPherson. I do evenings here. Your nighttime host. Never be as great as Steve Summers. Just trying to be great in my own right. I don't think I could really, like, when you think about the time that Steve did and what Steve, I don't know. It's different times. Anyway, that's my time. I'm out. Thanks for listening to my show. I'll do this again tomorrow. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN. Yeah. Dude.